D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. NFL Wild Card Weekend starts tomorrow, right? Games tomorrow?
Yes.
So we will discuss that, but we have a lot of reaction to our Predators conversation, and I do want to finish that conversation. Mark on our text line says, I would accept years of mediocrity in making the playoffs occasionally over 8 years at the bottom. I vehemently disagree. He continues, the Predators went to the Stanley Cup final in 2017. This wasn't after years of being at the bottom. It was in the middle of a remarkable stretch of making the playoffs every year. I'm not sure, but I think it was at least 10 years or so. The Blackhawks got Connor Bedard, and they've been at the bottom every year since. That generational player hasn't made a difference yet, with the emphasis on the word yet. But I've also noticed, Willie, a lot of people on our text line have pointed out that because the NHL has a draft lottery, just because you're the worst team doesn't mean you get the number one pick. Look at the team that the Predators played last night. The New York Islanders had a very small chance of having the number one overall pick. They moved all the way up, right? 10 spots. You saw Matthew Schaefer on the ice last night at Bridgestone Arena. He's a special, special player.
And the rest of their team, I was not that impressed with. I don't know about you, Adam, but no question that was a big, big thing for them to win that lottery. I would like to think that you, over the long time, will be rewarded for trying to win. And I think that's why they set the lottery system up, is that, you know, it's trying to reward teams for not just shutting it down and breaking it all the way down and losing and watching, having their fans having to suffer for 7 or 8 years. I would like to believe that even if that happened this year to the Predators, if they slipped, because I think what we're seeing now is in the West, they're going to have a lot of teams that are going to end up between, say, 84 and 88 points, somewhere in that range, maybe more like 80 to 88, if you want to widen it a little bit. So there's going to be a lot of teams like the Islanders, right, who were competitive for a while, then slipped down and are in position to be in the lottery. I'm hoping one of those teams gets rewarded by winning the lottery, right, and not being rewarded for just saying, we're going to stink and we're going to put our fans through 5 to 7 years of misery. And I think the Predators, because they started this really 3 years ago, they haven't been trading future assets for 3 years now. So they are starting to build a good farm system. They're not starting from scratch like some of these teams were when they started this. I think the Blackhawks had just milked it for everything it was worth, and then they decided, it's going to take a while, so we're going to break it all the way down.
One texter says, this Preds team is 1,000 times closer to the 2019 Blues than bottoming out. Okay, just one second. The 2019 St. Louis Blues, that was a once-in-a-generation type of run. From where they were halfway through the season at the bottom of the standings to winning the Stanley Cup. Pinning your hopes on the Predators doing the same thing is a fool's errand, to borrow a term that this texter used. And 2017 was 2017, okay? Before we move on, one texter mentioned the fact that, okay, here it is. Keep winning. McKinnon didn't do much until they got Mikko Rantanen and Cale Makar. Connor McDavid has the second best player on the planet and can't win a cup. And I understand the point that McDavid and Draisaitl, they've gone to the Stanley Cup final 2 years in a row, but they haven't won it. But again, if you look at recent Stanley Cup champions, at some point, by and large, not every team, Vegas is an example. Vegas took advantage of some advantageous expansion draft
they
rules.
They deserve a lot of credit for
that. And they've been very aggressive on the trade market. But Florida. Florida had Alexander Barkov and Aaron Ekblad. They also had Sam Bennett and Sam Reinhart. They traded for them, though, but both of them were top picks. Colorado had McKinnon, Makar, Rantanen, and Landeskog. Tampa Bay had Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman. Washington had Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom. Pittsburgh had Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. So I'm not saying you can't win the Stanley Cup without one of those players, but recent history tells you you probably need one. I mean, Vegas, for example, Vegas didn't win. I was about to say Jack Eichel, but Jack Eichel, well, he was on that team, wasn't he, actually?
When they won the whole cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jack Eichel was a top pick. He was traded. Yes.
Yeah.
But by and large,
and,
you
and
need...
Vegas took a little bit of a gamble medically because there was a big issue with yes. his neck injury, which yes. was precarious, at least in some people's minds. They were like, it's going to be all right, so let's make the deal. And they have been rewarded handsomely for their gambling nature, their aggressive nature. I just think there's more than one way to do it. The way you're saying it, to build it, there's no doubt, if you take a look at it, there's been plenty of great success stories. That you haven't even mentioned the Blackhawks with Taves and
yes.
Kane. And
if you go further back,
yeah. Duncan Keith and Seabrook. You know, the guys that they picked and they stunk for a long, long time. Then they made a great run. I'm looking at it from a different prism and saying it's not the only way. It's not the only way you can win. And there is a lot of benefit from being a good team. Your fans, I go back to last night. I go back to the last several home games. It's been a fun place to go. I like watching a fun team. And we, as a market here, have endured some rough times. The last season of Predators hockey in the first quarter of this year, that was really tough, right? They were going through a tough time, frustrating. Had to be tough. And you throw the Titans on top of that, right? There's just not a lot going on. I'm saying that even if it's not a great team, there is a benefit from coming in saying, I like what this team's doing. This is a fun team to watch. I like watching Ryan O'Reilly. I like watching Steven Stamkos, etc.
The Predators are back in action. Back-to-back home games, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday against the Chicago Blackhawks. Sunday against the Washington Capitals. Also happening this weekend, NFL Wild Card Weekend. Two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, one on Monday. Tomorrow we are treated to Rams at Panthers, Rams -10.5 on the road, and Packers at Bears, Green Bay favored by 1.5. Sunday, the game I am most excited for, Bills at Jaguars, Jacksonville favored by 1.5. That line has changed. I believe Buffalo was favored by 1.5 last I checked. 49ers at Eagles, Eagles -6. Chargers at Patriots, Patriots by 3.5. And on Monday night, Texans at Steelers, Houston favored by 3. I want to talk about the matchups in general, but I'm going to be viewing Wild Card Weekend through the prism of which playoff teams provide blueprints for the Tennessee Titans to get back into the postseason. And I'm focusing, guys, on the teams who were bad just a year ago. The New England Patriots, the Chicago Bears, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And my first thought in terms of how can the Titans emulate what those teams did, it emphasizes to me, Derek, just how important it is for the Titans to get this head coaching hire correct. Ben Johnson has been a godsend for Caleb Williams. You can say the same for Liam Cohen mm-hmm. and Trevor Lawrence. Drake May has benefited from Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels as his offensive coordinator. So that's the first thing I thought. Those three teams that were just as bad, maybe a little bit better, but still pretty bad, as the Titans last season, nailed those hirings based on what we've seen after 1 year. And it emphasizes the importance to me that the Titans have to get this hire right.
Yeah, the hire has to be right. But more importantly, if indeed the hire isn't a coordinator, then the hire, he has to hire, which means the OC is going to be equally as important because Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson, they were able to, hit that because Ben Johnson is not only a hell of an offensive coordinator, but he's their head coach now. So, and he directly affects the quarterback development. He and whoever their quarterback's coach is. Same thing in Jacksonville, whereas Liam Cohen, he calls plays, right?
Yes.
He calls plays. So he is closely connected to the quarterback and the development of the quarterback. So not only is it important to hire the right head coach, but I think in this situation, if he's not a coordinator, meaning an offensive coordinator, and an up-and-coming one, or a guy that has been in this league for a while and is used to calling plays. If he's not that guy, then he must – his hire is the most important hire, because if they don't get that right, the quarterback is not going to develop the way they wanted him to develop. Listen, with the Commanders – it wasn't they did well with hiring their head coach, but it was who the head coach hired as offensive coordinator that truly made that work, because Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels, they were able to build a connection, and Daniels was able to develop a lot quicker than what people thought he probably was or could. Same thing with Liam Cohen. Same thing with Ben Johnson. So if you're not going to hire a head coach slash coordinator, then whoever that head coach is, he must hire the right guy to help develop your quarterback. And I think people are missing that. Oh, well, the only thing we need is the head coach. Yeah, we need that head coach. But what if the head coach is not a play caller?
To that point, Willie, Chad Graff, who covers the Patriots for The Athletic, wrote a big story about Drake May heading into the postseason. And I really liked this passage, and I think it illustrates my point. Quote, "For it to happen this quickly," meaning May's ascension, "speaks to the fast-track PhD in quarterbacking that Josh McDaniels and head coach Mike Vrabel have given him. Their plan was pretty simple. McDaniels handled the X's and O's. Vrabel worked with him on being a leader. From McDaniels, he learned the intricacies of schematics, why Brady was able to be so decisive, what to do in certain situations, how to read a play. From Vrabel, a masterclass in leading a team, a focus on the importance of celebrating with his teammates, on being one of the guys, on knowing when and how to speak up. 9 months into that plan, May is arguably the best quarterback in the NFL."
It's quite an amazing ascension, as you called it. Is that worthy of a ring? I mean, ascension, yeah. I'm still a little bit curious to see how he does in the postseason, knowing that it's a fact they had an easier schedule, an abnormally easy schedule, even for a last-place team last year. So I want to see how he does as the competition really ratchets up. That being said, he's on a tremendous track, right? Even if it doesn't happen this year, they are really fortunate to have Drake May. And just the idea that he is in a discussion with MVP this early in his career, I think you have to give them full credit for how they have developed him.
Same can be said of Caleb Williams in Chicago. The Bears host the Packers tomorrow night at Soldier Field. And Ben Johnson was a hot coaching candidate even a couple of years ago, right? He decided to stay in Detroit for an extra year, comes out last year, joins the Chicago Bears, brings that scheme to Chicago. What were all of the conversations about Caleb Williams in the offseason? Maybe similar to the conversations a lot of people were having about Cam Ward? Like, is he really a number one overall pick? And look at him now, at an outstanding season for Caleb Williams. And Liam Cohen, it didn't start off well for Trevor Lawrence. He was sort of up and down. But the Jags have won, what, 8 in a row? And he's been outstanding. It took a little while. But Trevor Lawrence may be turning into the Trevor Lawrence everybody thought he would be when he came out of Clemson. So again, that was the number one takeaway for me as I was thinking about this. This shows you just how important it is for the Titans to get this coaching hire right. And to your point, Derek, it's not just about the head coach. It's about the head coach and the play caller. You mentioned Mike McDaniel earlier. It was reported that Mike McDaniel is going to interview for the Titans head coaching job. Your concern is that Mike McDaniel is not a culture builder. And I think people who watch the Miami Dolphins and cover the Miami Dolphins would agree with you. Once the Dolphins' offense stopped scoring, how many points did they score on the Broncos that one game? Like,
oh,
70,
man.
Like
70, yeah. 70, I think. Yeah.
Once the Dolphins' offense stopped looking like the Harlem Globetrotters of football, I think the cracks were starting to show. McDaniel may not be a culture builder, which is why you don't think he should be the head coach of the Titans.
No.
But if they hire someone who is a culture builder and pair that person with Mike McDaniel, which we talked about yesterday, is going to cost some major moolah probably. That may be the type of pairing that can get Cam Ward off the ground.
Yeah, because, you know, I've always said this about players, and I think it's true about coaches. Players, it's not necessarily, listen, for me at least, it's not what this sport can do for me. If that's what you're in it for, you have a career, but it won't be a meaningful one. You'll make a little money, but okay. But what is it that the legacy you can leave to this sport? You know, what can you give to the sport? And when I look at McDaniels, it was almost like, and you know, to relate it to head coaches are supposed to, they're supposed to walk in and change the culture. They are supposed to be culture changers. The culture is not supposed to change them. It changed Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel was changed by the culture in that locker room. It wasn't the other way around. And it wasn't good because we saw once things started happening, this team started to spiral. So just like a head coach, you want somebody that can come here and build a culture, not let the culture change him. And McDaniel seems to be that guy that he allowed that culture, whatever it was, and it seemed to be, it wasn't that great. It changed him. So I don't want him as a head coach. Because he's not a culture changer.
615-737-1025. Which team playing on Wild Card Weekend do you think provides the blueprint for the Titans to join these teams on Wild Card Weekend once again? 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation, take your reaction, and preview Wild Card Weekend. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Now, I do know this, Belle Biv DeVoe. Never trust a big butt and a smile. Right, Derek?
Exactly, I guess.
There you go.
There you go.
I mean, I clearly did not take that advice because I married my wife.
I take precautions.
You okay?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not commenting on that one. I am not commenting on that. That is not my place.
In my corner over here.
Exactly. I'm just going to stay over here.
So we're talking NFL Wild Card Weekend, which kicks off tomorrow with two games. Rams at Panthers, Packers at Bears. Three games on Sunday. Bills at Jags, Niners at Eagles. Chargers at Patriots. Monday night, Texans at Steelers. And I'm going to be watching this weekend through the prism of the Titans and which of these wild card teams provides a blueprint of sorts of how the Titans can get back to, frankly, Wild Card Weekend. And I mentioned that the number one takeaway for me, looking specifically at the Bears, the Patriots, and the Jaguars, is just how important it is that the Titans nail this head coaching hire, specifically finding a coach, whether it's a head coach or an offensive coordinator, who can help Cam Ward be his best self. Willie, I want you to answer that question. Is there any team playing this weekend that you look to as someone or some or a team that the Titans can emulate maybe to get back into this picture?
I look at it a little bit more of bits and pieces from everybody, but if I had to pick one team, I think I would look at the Patriots. And the parallel is when you dive in and select a quarterback, you hope that you hit on it, and then it's support system around that quarterback, as you illustrated in the last segment. So I don't want to go back through that because I think that's a success story. It's a pretty quick rebuild that the Patriots had. And the Titans are now, what, 3 years into this, mm-hmm. you know, since their window closed. So next year will be an important year to show some progress. So I think the Patriots have the most. But I think you can learn from just about every team. I'm impressed with what the Jaguars have done when they switched coaches. If you'd have told me that, okay, they're going to trade their next year's first-round pick, they're going to get Travis Hunter, and Hunter is going to have very little impact, I would have said, hop, another tale of woe from the Jaguars. But they have really brought out the best in Trevor Lawrence, which was not the case to this point in his career. This is going to be an extremely interesting game.
This is Jaguars, the game of the weekend for me.
Yes, the Bills trying to hang on with their window. They've been so close for so many years. Mm-hmm. Could be out in the first round.
If you're, I'm not even looking at any one of these teams. If you're talking about the Titans and how they should go about, you know, revitalizing or this organization, more importantly, this roster. The team I think everybody needs to watch is Indianapolis. Even though I know the Indianapolis, they fell off because they lost their quarterback. But look at the way they built their team. Their team is built for the long haul. It may not have happened this year because of the quarterback situation, but it's like, go down, and we talked about this before. Look at their starting lineup on offense, really. All these guys are draftees. Every last one of them are basically draftees, guys that they drafted, developed, and they're going to either retain them or they've already retained them. So I know the flashy thing is to look at, you know, Jacksonville and what they did. Look at New England or look at, you know, the Chicago Bears. But quietly, look at Indianapolis and what they've done just from a roster standpoint and how they've built their roster. All these guys are guys that are contributing. And some of these guys are borderline elite or elite guys, whether it be the running back, the tight end, the offensive lineman, the receivers. All these guys were drafted. And the only thing they needed was for the quarterback, Richardson, to develop and hit. They don't know if he is or not. But had he developed, say, in the way that Jaden Daniels developed or Drake May, Indianapolis would be unstoppable. Why? Because they drafted well and they've developed these players. The only thing they're missing is really a quarterback. And they hope that Richardson is that guy. So we can look at these other teams, yeah. But look at what Indianapolis is quietly doing, talent-wise.
I'll tell you one team I thought about in this exercise that I chose against, and that's the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. The Carolina Panthers backed into the NFC South title at 8-9. They are a 10.5-point underdog at home, despite being a division champion, against the Rams tomorrow afternoon. And I was thinking about it through the context of Bryce Young. And tomorrow, I think, is a huge game for Bryce Young. Huge. I think of Bryce Young. And by the way, the Panthers did beat the Rams earlier this season, and Bryce Young threw for 3 touchdowns. He only threw 20 passes. But it's a big game for Bryce Young. And we did talk about Bryce Young a few weeks ago, comparing him to Cam Ward. Bryce Young has made strides, but he was so far underground that even though he has taken steps, he is still a below-average quarterback. I think if the Titans were in the same position as the Panthers right now, if the Titans make the playoffs in Cam Ward's third year, but Cam Ward is playing like Bryce Young, I don't think Titans fans will accept that at all. So I know that Bryce Young, look, he's had a roller coaster early part of his NFL career. But he's in the playoffs, in a home game, has a chance to take down a Super Bowl favorite. But I wouldn't want Cam Ward to be Bryce Young based on where Bryce Young's career is right now.
No, I mean, well, what? Okay, based upon what it is right now, what if, you know, he goes out and they win the next 2 games and he finds himself in the NFC Championship game?
That would be a game changer.
Exactly. That would be sort of this game changer. But I know from a—
it doesn't look like he's capable of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. From a statistical standpoint, yeah, you don't— after 3 years, if Cam looked like this, yeah, we would probably be saying,
I think he deserves full marks for looking like he was on the verge of being a bust and resurrecting himself to get back to this point. And now, we'll see if he can take some more steps forward and bring them to a higher level. He also needs— I don't look at that roster and say, wow, that's a really good rising roster in all facets. Like, I think there were people— I don't remember exactly who's who, but I was hearing them as a sleeper team before the year. I was like, what are you talking about? They're terrible. They have nobody. So they've done some good work behind the scenes in some parts of the roster, but I think Bryce Young could use, like, a wingman, you know, a really good skill player to go alongside him. That would probably help him.
It could be Ted McMillan. It could be he had a solid season. By the way, yeah. Bryce Young finished 22nd out of 28 quarterbacks in QBR this season. Cam Ward was 28th out of 28. But even Bryce Young in a rebound season was still a below-average quarterback in QBR. Outside, so I've already said my game of the weekend is Bills at Jaguars. I am fascinated by this game. The line has shifted when I wrote down, because we're going to pick this game for Take It to the Bank. When I wrote it down earlier today, the Bills were favored by 1.5. Now the Jags are favored by 1.5, which I think is correct. Outside, so let's exclude that game. Would you all agree that's the most intriguing game of the weekend? Bills at Jaguars?
Yeah, well, yeah, that one in the Chargers in New England.
The Chargers never do anything in the playoffs.
But I think New England is intriguing because they've been hearing all year that, hey, you guys have a soft schedule. And Vrabel has ate it up, right? Remember, this is that one game. And, of course, this ended up coming back on Vrabel a little bit because they beat the Buccaneers when the Bucs looked like they were going to roll again to the NFC South. Mm-hmm. And they whipped the Bucs. And as they came off the field, Vrabel was telling him, hey, that's the AFC South champ. He knew the microphone was on him, too. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the NFC South champ. NFC South leader right there. But when you look at the strength of schedule, it doesn't lie, right? They caught a really good groove with who they played this year. And I agree with you. Like, the Chargers, they never seem to be able to come up big in the playoffs. Yeah. But this is a Harbaugh, right? And it happened last year with Harbaugh. But I don't know. I'm intrigued by that one. I can't argue. The number one game is the Bills-Jags. There's no question.
Yes. I'm also, look, whenever the Packers and Bears play, it's always fun, especially in this environment in the postseason. The game I'm having a hard time getting a read on. 49ers at Eagles, Sunday afternoon, 3:30 kickoff. Philly -6. Like,
why?
I don't know. I can't
say. It seems to have grown, right?
I'll have to see what it opened at. Let's see here. It opened at -3. And now it's -6. Did I miss something with the 49ers?
I might need to check the injury report
here.
They
got injuries?
See what's going on.
But that, like, the Eagles, I did not watch every single Eagles game. But I did not find myself incredibly impressed with the Eagles this year. The 49ers feel to me that they're the better team. So I'm surprised by that spread. I don't have a good read on this game.
Me either.
I was looking at this. I don't know if I've made the decision, but I was looking at the points and saying, I kind of like the 49ers and the points here on paper.
I do, as well.
You pick 49ers and the points, but if you're just talking about a straight-up win, I'm still leaning toward Philadelphia. I think the part about Philadelphia that people are sort of scratching their head with is their offense. It hasn't been consistent based upon the talent that they have. They have two elite receivers. They have an elite running back, a damn good quarterback, a good offensive line. But at times, their offense looks stagnant.
The 49ers defense is banged up. Mm-hmm. The Eagles have never lost at home in the playoffs under Nick Sirianni. But to your point, Derek, the Eagles, this according to NFL.com, the Eagles went 2-3 and averaged 19.4 points per game against teams with a 600-plus win percentage. Against teams under 600, they went 9-3 and averaged 23.5 points per game. So they did not play well against top competition.
Well, it seems like they really didn't play well against teams that were deemed not top competition. This Eagles offense, now the team as a whole, they've done a good job to overcome some certain things, but this team was known for their offense, and pushing the ball down the field and A.J. making these spectacular plays and him being unstoppable and Devontae Smith and what he's able to do and Saquon Barkley. This team was built on their offense. No damn, their defense, their front is good, really, really good. But when people look at the Eagles, it's like if their offense isn't scoring points, even though they're still winning games, if their offense isn't scoring points, then people have looked at Philly like, are they really, truly a Super Bowl contender? regardless of them having AJ and Devontae and Saquon, Lane Johnson, are they a true contender? Because we haven't seen the Philadelphia Eagle team this year that we saw last year.
Especially down the stretch. It hasn't looked like they're really clicking. Mm-hmm. So it's a great question. That's why this league is so compelling. It really is. Like it is. I think all seven teams in the AFC have a chance. I could see any one of the seven getting in there. And I would say the same thing in the NFC except for Carolina. I think a legit shot of going on the road and winning all of these games. And you've got the Seahawks and the Broncos as number one seeds. How many people had those teams as the number one seeds in their respective conferences before the season?
I'm not very proud.
Few.
I'm not proud of this. Willie, you may have to check the scrolls. I may have predicted the Broncos to miss the playoffs at the start of the season.
I'm afraid to look. I do have the scrolls. I may or may not have purposely left them behind today, but we probably should look back on that at some point.
I either had the Broncos as the seventh seed in the AFC or missing the playoffs. I certainly did not have them number one overall.
I can't be sure that I didn't do the same thing.
Oh, boy. Well, it's a good thing you didn't bring those with you. 615-737-1025. Wild card weekend in the NFL kicks off tomorrow at 3:30. Rams at Panthers, followed by Packers at Bears at 7 o'clock. You will need every television channel and streaming service known to man to watch all of these games. Rams at Panthers is on Fox. Packers at Bears is on Prime. Bills at Jags is on CBS. 49ers and Eagles is on Fox. Chargers and Patriots is on NBC/Peacock. Texans and Steelers is on ESPN/ABC. So I hope you have the multi-view warmed up. 615-737-1025. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. As we always do, we will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank, courtesy of our friends at F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. You can visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Before we make our selections for the week, David Janes has our recap of last week.
All right, boys. So last week, it was a pretty good week for a few of you guys. You know, one is for Adam. Let me go back to the general questions. Well, go back. So will Cam Ward extend his multi-touchdown streak? He only got one, and then he got hurt. So, of course, that did not happen. Me and D-May said yes, it would. And Adam and Willie were the doubters, and they were proven right.
This should be like an asterisk.
I know. I should do it, but I feel like Willie will, you know, riot the streets
you can't,
up here once you find the game. And
the card laid, it's card played. That was the question. Yes or no?
Okay.
That's why because of that point right there, that's why I wasn't going to do it. And then the other one was, can't even believe Adam even asked this question, which was, Ravens at Steelers, who's going to win? Obviously, the Steelers won. I guess who's the only one who got it right was Adam because he
kickers, man.
I know. I
damn.
Tyler Loop, he's on my list. Tyler Loop's on my list right now.
Man.
God, all right, see? Now,
they make it look so easy 90% of the time, and then there's always that one kick.
I mean, that kid at Vanderbilt on college game day nailed that one. He made it look easy.
He sure did.
So
I'm just reliving a nightmare right now. Just having to think about it. Now let's go back to Adam. Adam, you, for your individual picks, Adam, you said the Panthers would beat the Bucks.
Wrong.
They did not happen. And then you said the 49ers over the Seahawks. That also didn't happen.
Wrong.
But you got both the general questions right, so you got 4 points.
Okay.
For a total of 77 points.
All righty.
Okay.
Now let's go to Willie. Willie, you said the Seahawks over the 49ers -2.5. Because of that -2.5, you got the point. And then you also said the Panthers +3. You got the point there as well.
Boom.
So you got a total of 6 points for a total of 93 points. Shout out to Willie Donick.
So I take it I didn't do well.
You got one. You got 1 point. You got Miami over Ole Miss.
Uh-huh.
But then you said Bane would have 2 sacks. He didn't get no sacks.
Dang it.
Now for me, let me find the button that I usually press. It was a bad. This has been a bad couple of weeks, man. I've done really bad. I said Henry with 2 touchdowns. He didn't even get a touchdown. And then Ole Miss over Miami. I got a goose egg. So I have 63. Oh no, I have 65. Damish, you passed me with 66.
Yes. Yes, I'm not at the bottom anymore.
I'm at the bottom.
Yes.
All right, let's start with our general questions, both related to NFL Wild Card Weekend. First game of the weekend, tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. on Fox, Rams at Panthers. Rams favored on the road by 10.5. Will Carolina cover, yes or no? Derek?
Ooh. I did say, don't be surprised.
You did. I want to hear this answer.
You did.
I said, don't be surprised. But I believe they do cover.
Okay.
I believe they cover. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think they cover.
Okay. Willie?
Rams will win decisively. I believe I will take the Rams plus the 10.5. The Panthers will not cover.
I will also take the Rams minus 10.5. David?
I'm going Panthers. I think they'll cover.
Okay. Split. The game of the weekend, in all of our opinions, Buffalo at Jacksonville. When I wrote this down this morning, Buffalo was favored by 1.5. It is now Jacksonville by 1.5. Who wins? Derek?
We're talking straight up here?
Straight up.
I'm picking.
Do it. Do it.
They're in Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
They are. Ooh. I can't bet against Josh Allen. I'm going with the Bills. I can't bet against Josh Allen. I'm going with the Bills. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I'm going with the Bills.
Willie?
I'll take the Bills as well. I just feel like they've got a run in them here.
David?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, give me Duval.
I was about to say, David, hit it.
Duval.
That's it. I'm going Jacksonville. I'm going Jacksonville as well. Hmm. Partially because I want to see what happens if Buffalo loses. Because it will not be. I'm sure
it's getting harder for Buffalo. It's getting tougher for Buffalo to keep spinning the wheels salary cap wise. It reminds me a little bit of the Oilers in hockey, where they've got the big pieces, and you're like, how do we get the right? Let's keep tweaking the formula until we get it right, and then it seems like each year it gets tougher and tougher to do that.
Derek, why don't you go first this time with your individual selection?
All right. First, and I'm going to stick with this for both of my picks. I am picking Vanderbilt over LSU, and they will cover. I think it's 14.5. I think Vandy covers.
I will check.
Okay. And I think they hit over 10 three-pointers.
Vanderbilt is favored by 14.5 against LSU at home tomorrow. So you are correct on that. Willie, why don't you go now?
Wow. Okay. Faith in the Commodores. I like that. I am going to take the Indiana Hoosiers tonight. What is the line?
Let's take a look. It is Indiana -3.
I will take the -3. I will take Indiana. I just think it's their year. And maybe I'm just rooting for them a little bit. I love the story of the team that for decades, nobody, Indiana football, I'm in on the bandwagon.
Maybe Kurt Cignetti will crack a smile, for God's sake.
Maybe
sakes.
Just I
mean, is that guy not an entertainment show on his own? Just I could just watch him walk up and down the sideline every play. It's intriguing. It captures me. And then I'm going to pick one other of the NFL games. I am going to take the Chargers +3.5.
Wow.
I think it's going to be right down to the wire. I think, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win, but I like them
like
as
the
dog. And I think the Patriots are going to, they might eke it out, but I feel like the Chargers are going to bring something to the table there.
Okay. I am going to stay on NFL Wild Card Weekend. Give me the Niners to cover on the road at Philadelphia. I see Philadelphia -6. I will take the Niners to cover that 6. And tomorrow night, Packers at Bears. Packers favored by 1.5. I will take the Bears at home against the Packers.
Interesting. The Bears.
I will take the Bears against the Packers. David?
All right, boys. So I agree with Willie about the Indiana pick. I don't know why. I just love him so much. Kurt Cinetti kind of looks like have y'all seen the boss from Incredibles? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of looks like the boss from Incredibles a little bit. So give me the Hoosiers. Who's your daddy? And then also I'm going to go to the Vandy LSU game. I think Tyler Tanner will have – I'm going to go 20 points.
20 points.
20 points.
That would be about what he's been doing.
Kurt Cinetti does look like the boss from Incredibles. Yeah, I can see that.
So, Willie, why you're not confident in the point spread with Vandy?
I don't know that much about LSU. Uh-huh. It just scares me a little bit. You know, coming
especially
off
after the game they played.
It was a big emotional game the other night. I want to see how they bounce back. I know there were a couple guys banged up. I will say this, though. Tyler Tanner, man, he gets more impressive every time I watch. If you have not focused in on this kid is from Brentwood Academy.
He's a dog.
He was not a big recruit. Mm-hmm. He was like Mr. Basketball with Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He was a really good high school player. Great high school player. But he was not nationally like he could go anywhere like Darius Garland or Brandon Wright several years ago. He's not like ballyhooed like that.
I think he had offers from Murray State, Memphis, and just like a few like the smaller schools. So this is impressive.
And he
so
had faith in himself to say, hey, I committed to Jerry Stackhouse, and Jerry Stackhouse is gone. Is the next guy even going to want me, especially the way these things go now?
Yeah, you're right.
But he was like, I'm going. I'm going to the school, and I don't care who the coach is, and I'm going to win a spot. He is a heck of a story, and he just keeps getting better.
I see here that the 2025 All-Pro teams will be announced tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Central. I assume Jeffrey Simmons will be on that list?
Jeffrey Simmons and DK.
You think DK will be an All-Pro?
Yes, he should be.
What do
you
think,
Willie?
The best
returner out there.
You know, I don't know all the returners off the top of my head, but there's no question DK was pretty special at what he did there.
I'm just looking forward to the fact that I don't have to watch a Titans game this Sunday. It's kind of nice.
It's been that bad, huh?
It's hard. It's been hard. It's been hard.
Need therapy?
No, not that hard.
Okay. I was just wondering, you know, ain't nothing wrong with
healthy.
It.
It's healthy.
It's healthy, exactly.
Therapy is good, not even for the bad times.
I am a huge proponent of therapy.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Okay, good.
I've done
Titan
it myself.
Therapy.
I've done it myself. But, yes, the fact that I don't have to watch the Titans on Sunday, it's making me feel good inside. That's a good thing.
Okay, have you guys, because I found myself now that sort of the regular season is where it has done itself and it's over with, I found myself gravitating more and more to college basketball. Like, now I'm starting to watch, even though I watch my Spartans, but I'm watching them religiously
now. I think that's natural
Vanderbilt
for a lot
now.
Of people.
This is the time. I would encourage people who have gotten down on college basketball to
it's
watch.
It's some good, good product out there. It's
absolutely.
Really
got to control the fouls a little bit. Yeah. You got to figure out this. The other night was just a little bit long.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit long.
That'll do it for us this week. Enjoy NFL Wild Card Weekend. We will break it all down on Monday. The Predators play on Saturday and Sunday as well. So a full sports weekend for all of you. Indiana and Oregon and roughly 30 minutes, 35 minutes, so a lot to watch, but enjoy yourselves, enjoy your families, get outside, touch grass, and we will talk to you Monday at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people, have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you, the team loves you. You hear that music, don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you Monday at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.